chapter, chapter 8. I'll read the chapter summary. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Ginamjana Chalakaya Chakshu Unnavatam Yena Tadasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Lord Nrsimhadeva slays the king of the demons. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Pallava Maharaj, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrsimhadeva, half lion and half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Pallava Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Skanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Pallava Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Pallava Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu was not God, and he began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, and that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus, he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Pallava Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnava son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace. And Pallava Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement as just the talk of a child and forcefully struck the pillar with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Pallava's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Nrsimhadeva, half lion, half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinary, wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death, and thus he prepared to fight with the form of half lion and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his sharp nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but he also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manas, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinaras, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. So I think I'll just read through the translations here. Text 1. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlada Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Skanda and Amarka. When Skanda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlada Maharaj, they became afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus, he finally decided that he would kill his son Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake. Hissing by a snake, trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlada was very peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control, and he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlada's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Text 5. Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. Text 6. My son Prahlada, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impotent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Text 7. Prahlada Maharaj said, My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of your strength. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. It is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Jaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller and time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. 9. Prahlada Maharaj continued, My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equal poise toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. Him. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the love of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all the enemies in all 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equal poise towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in the mode of ignorance. 11. Hiranyakashipu replied, You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. 12. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the control of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? 13. Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. 14. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu is very great in his bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son, Prahlad, with harsh words, cursing him again and again. Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, he got up from his royal throne, and with great anger and strength, struck his fist against the column. He hit it with his fist. Then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods, like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. 16. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound, which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. Very interesting that all of them were trying to find what is the source of this sound. They heard this sound. They couldn't find the source of the sound. I'll read some of this purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains by saying, O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by this tumultuous sound in the sky, Shabda, K. The tumultuous, thundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons, like the Hiranyakashipu, could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord, and thus Hiranyakashipu became afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of a thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who were in his association were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although they could not trace out the source of that sound. And so by sound, we become purified by hearing about Krishna. We become purified. And so even the demons here, hearing this terrible sound, even though they were afraid, they were becoming purified also. Text 17. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. 18. While Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained by either man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man and half lion? In the purport, Prabhupada says, a demon cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. It's stated in the Vedas, the different potencies of the Lord are always working as an automatic exhibition of his knowledge. For a demon, it is certainly wonderful that the form of a lion and the form of a man can be united. Since a demon has no experience of the inconceivable power for which the Supreme Lord is called all-powerful, demons cannot understand the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord. They simply compare the Lord to one of them. Text 19, 20, 21, and 22. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of the Sringadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face. His deadly teeth and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. Also, I read where it said that the eyes of the Lord were like darting hummingbirds, darting back and forth. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaw parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs of his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. So the Lord had ten arms, and his killing was just furious. It was a bloody affair. And he's killing them with all the weapons. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Text 24. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and an insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. 27. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisingadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods, who had lost their abodes and were hiding behind the clouds for fear of this demon, did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu was in the process of being killed by Lord Nrisingadev, the Lord gave the demon a chance to slip away from his clutches. This incident was not very much appreciated by the demigods, for they were greatly afraid of Hiranyakashipu. They knew that if somehow or other Hiranyakashipu escaped from Nrisingadev's hands and saw that the demigods were looking forward to his death with great pleasure, he would take great revenge upon them. Therefore, they were very much afraid. 27. When Hiranyakashipu was free from the hands of Nrisingadev, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Wherefore, when a sinful man enjoys material facilities, Foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he's given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu when he was released from the hands of Nisringadeva. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nisringadeva, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. So the Lord does everything for his own pleasure and his own enjoyment. And here, just for the Lord's pleasure, he allowed the demon to slip from his hands and be able to play like he was in control. But Krishna is just having fun with him. The example was that sometimes Garuda, when catching a bird, will let that slip from his mouth. So similarly, Hiranyakashipu was allowed to slip from the Nisringadeva's hands. And because Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, that made the demigods extremely afraid. They're seeing, oh, he's escaped, and now again we have to fear for our lives. Text 29. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nisringadeva captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here and there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nisringadeva placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thigh. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the sharp nails of his hand. 30. Lord Nisringadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nisringadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. 31. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart, and then threw him aside and turned toward the demon's soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him with raised weapons and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nisringadeva killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. 32. The hair on Nisringadeva's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. 33. Airplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on the Nisringadeva's head. Airplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on the Nisringadeva's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illuminations. 34. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Nisringadeva, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. 35. Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus, when the wives of the demigods in the heavenly planet saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nisringadev like rain. 36. At that time, the airplanes of the demigods, who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayana, crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums, and upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance, while the chiefs of the Gandharvas sang sweetly. 37 through 39. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons and the residents of the Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadharaloka, and the planet of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinaraloka, the Vetalas, the inhabitants of Kimpurushaloka, and the personal servants of Vishnu, like Sunanda and Kamunda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. 40. Lord Brahma prayed, "My Lord, you are unlimited, and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it, yet you remain the same without deterioration, and therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you." 41. Lord Shiva said, "The end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, O my Lord, you are naturally affectionate to your devotee. Kindly protect his son, Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee." 42. King Indra said, "O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu is most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, by those who always engage in your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, artha, and dharma." 43. All the saintly persons present offered their prayers in this way: "O Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O Original Personality of Godhead, the process of austerity and penance in which you instruct us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon, but now, by yourself appearing in the form of Nisringadev, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity." 44. The inhabitants of Pitraloka prayed, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Nisringadev, the maintainer of the religious principles of the universe. He has killed Hiranyakashipu, the demon who by force enjoyed all the offerings of the Shraddha ceremonies performed by our sons and grandsons on the anniversaries of our death, and who drank the water with sesame seeds offered in holy places of pilgrimage. By killing this demon, O Lord, you have taken back all this stolen property from his abdomen by piercing it with your sharp nails. We therefore wish to offer our respectful obeisances unto you. 45. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka pray, O Lord Nrisingadeva, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. 46. The inhabitants of Vidyaharaloka pray, our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways, according to varieties of meditation, was banned by the foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride and his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. Unto that supreme pastime form of Lord Nrisingadeva, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances. 47. The inhabitants of Nagaloka said, the most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now, since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus, we together offer our respectful obeisances unto you. 48. All the Manus offered their prayers as follows. As your order carries, O Lord, we the Manus are the lawgivers for human society, but because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Vanashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. 49. The Prajapatis offered their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, even Lord Brahma and Shiva, we the Prajapatis were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Those therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. 50. The inhabitants of Gandharvaloka prayed, your lordship, we ever engage in your service by dancing and singing in dramatic performances. But this Hiranyakashipu, by the influence of his bodily strength and valor, brought us under his subjugation. Now he has been brought to this low condition by your lordship. What benefit can result from the activities of such an upstart as Hiranyakashipu? 51. The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who was always a stake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved, and we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which award the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. 52. The inhabitants of Yakshaloka pray, O controller of the 24 elements, we are considered the best servants of your lordship because of rendering services pleasing to you. Yet we engaged as palanquin carriers by the order of Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti. O Lord, in the form of Nrisingadeva, you know how this demon gave trouble to everyone, but now you have killed him and his body is mixing with the five material elements. The inhabitants of Kimpurusa Loka said, we are intelligent living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you? When this demon was condemned by devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. 54. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka said, dear Lord, because of the chanting, your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, We were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now, to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon, exactly as one cures a chronic disease. 55. The Canaris said, O Supreme Controller, we are ever existing servants of your lordship, but instead of rendering service to you, we were engaged by this demon in his service, constantly, without remuneration. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Nrsimhadev, our master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron. 56. The associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha offered this prayer, O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Nrsimhadev, met by the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jaya who engaged in your service, but was cursed by the Brahmanas, and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Nrsimhadev Slays the King of the Devotees. Anyone have any questions about the pastime of Lord Nrsimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu? Quite a wonderful pastime. And so, as devotees, we can expect that the demons are always trying to give the devotees trouble. And so, in any condition that we may find ourselves, we should always think of the Lord in this form, Lord Nrsimhadev, and that he will protect us from all difficulties. Even if one is having some difficulty from some planetary disturbance, one may think he's having trouble from a planet such as Saturn. If one prays the Lord Nrsimhadev, if one worships the Lord Nrsimhadev, all of these fears of fevers, whatever difficulties may present themselves to us, we should always pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to give us protection. He is omnipresent, omnipotent. He showed here how he is present everywhere by coming out of the pillar. So we should always take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, and in this way, know that we are always being protected by the Lord. Lord Nrsimhadev ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.